The Senate will please come to order. The clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Girard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
Send Sasha to the floor immediately, please. I got these today.
No, they're being carried over.
A quorum being present. We will post the colors, and Senator Martha Schrader will lead us in the pledge. Today's invocation, Chuck Schlimpert, and he is the president of Concordia University in Portland.
Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for the invitation. Let us pray. God our Father, we're about to begin our day's work as the Oregon Senate. But before we begin our work, we come to you in prayer to ask for your wisdom, guidance, and strength. The task ahead of us is not easy, but you, O God, are able to make the rough ground level and the rugged places of a fertile plain. So we know that your wisdom, guidance, and strength are more than sufficient for our needs. These are challenging times, O Lord. Economic hardship is being felt everywhere, in our families, our workplaces, our farms, and in the services provided by our government. We pray especially for those who are unemployed. Help them find suitable and fulfilling work. In these troubled times, don't let our trust in you fail. And so, Father, we commend into your hands these senators and all the people of Oregon. trusting in your mercy and grace so freely given through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, President Schlimpert, for your invocation. I'd like to extend a courtesy to the Senate to you and all the friends and students and faculty, administration, supporters of Concordia University in Portland. Thank you, Senator Schrader, for leading us in the Pledge of the Allegiance. Thank you. Honorary pages Daniel Griffith, Jack Kessel, Peter Bowman are the honorary pages for the good Senator Richard Devlin. Nicholas Cantillon is the honorary page for Senator Gerard, Fred Gerard. And Mariah Ferguson, the honorary page for Senator Alan Bates. We thank each of you honorary pages for coming here today to help us in the State Senate, not only in our floor session here, but throughout the day. You've already been here earlier working to take things around and help us get through our day. We cannot get through our day without the work of honorary pages. So we want to thank each and every one of you, and I'd like to extend the courtesies to each of you, and I hope you have a great day. And this is your capital. It's an honor and privilege that you would come and visit with us and to work with us. We learn from you. Thank you. We're now under the courtesy of the Senate, and I'm going to recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to ask that courtesies be extended today to my intern, Tucker Rossetto. Tucker is a senior at Oregon State. He's working toward his bachelor's degree in political science with a minor in military science. He is a cadet major executive officer in the ROTC. He is also working as a research assistant in the OSU Political Science Department. He's second in command of more than 100 ROTC cadets, and I am pleased to have him helping me in my office a couple of days a week for the rest of the session, and I ask that courtesies be extended to Tucker Rossetto today, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan Bonamici. Tucker, thanks for coming. Thanks for helping out as an intern and helping out in Senator Bonamici's office. That's a very outstanding ROTC program at Oregon State. Very good. So I'm very proud of you. We're very proud of you. And hats off to Oregon State University ROTC program. Look forward to the day you graduate as a lieutenant. And good luck to you. Recognize Senator Ted Farrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have the honor of hosting a couple of guests. One who is seated with Senator Richard Devlin. At my desk is Mr. Alvin Warren, who's the Cabinet Secretary for New Mexico for the Department of Indian Affairs. And at Senator Devlin's desk is Francine Hatch, and she is the Senior Policy Analyst for the same organization. They are here from New Mexico to study Oregon's government-to-government issues that involve our tribal issues, the Indian and government-to-government statutes based on Senate Bill 770. The state of New Mexico has this year adopted model legislation that's based on Senate Bill 770, so they're very interested in learning about how Oregon handles its government-to-government relations. Mr. President, I would request courtesies for Francine Hatch, Senior Policy Analyst, and Alvin Warren, Cabinet Secretary from the state of New Mexico.
Thank you, Senator Farrioli. Alan, Francine, thank you for coming to the state of Oregon and coming on to the Senate floor. It's an honor and a privilege to have you here, and we'd like to extend the courtesies of the state Senate and the state legislature to you at this time. It's an honor. I hope you enjoy your stay. Stay as long as you want. Hope you'll come back. I've never gone yet to the state of New Mexico, but I do want to do that. I have very good feelings about that great state of yours. I just got to get there. So thanks for coming to our state. It's an honor to have you. Recognize Senator Margaret Carter.
Oh, Mr. President, colleagues, thank you again. We will rise again. Portland Trailblazers, thank you.
Oh, you. Yeah, that was not a courtesy. That was a remonstrance. Oh, Jesus. That was really good. Are there any other courtesies? Remonstrances. Recognize Senator Chris Telfer, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not going to sing this one, But I understand a number of senators on the floor today are going to my district tonight, District 27 in my hometown, Bend. So I just want a little forewarning. This is spring in Central Oregon, so you will be required to carry chains or traction devices as it's snowing over the mountains. Please bring your mittens and hats and winter clothing, and do not expect to see those green leaves growing on trees or any colorful flowers in Central Oregon. Just a little preparation for your stay tonight in Bend, Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Helfer. Further remonstrances? Messages from the governor, please.
Mr. President, I'm going to the 420 has approved and signed the following bill, Senate Bill 5539, Senate Bill 6375-356.
Message from the House.
Mr. President, I'm speaking for the House to pass House Bill 2633, 2133, 2144, 2358, 2377. Speaker has signed House Bills 2201 and 2466.
The reports from the conference committees, reports from standing committees, in accordance with SR 8.551, committee report summary number 78 was distributed to members today. This information will be recorded in the journal and the status report. It is so ordered. Reports from special committees. Propositions of motion. Recognize Senator Devlin at this time, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Are we under propositions and motions?
We are, but that doesn't mean you can't ask for a recess. If that's what you want to do, I mean, I'll do whatever you want. You've got the floor, so make a move.
Mr. President, I will do the proposition motion first and then ask for a recess.
All right, then please make your motion, please.
I move the consideration of SCR 12, SCR 13, and SCR 14 be taken from their place on today's calendar and made special orders of business at the head of the third reading calendar for Wednesday, May 6th.
The Devlin has moved that the consideration of SCR 12, SCR 13, and SCR 14 be taken from their place on today's calendar and made a special orders of business at the head of the third reading calendar for Wednesday, May 6th. To that motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, these three resolutions came from your Senate Rules Committee. They are to honor the two fallen law enforcement officers who are in the tragic circumstance in Woodburn, and to honor the chief of police who is recovering from his grave injuries. We wanted to have the opportunity for family, friends, and co-workers to be here on that date.
Is there discussion? The question is on taking SCR 12, SCR 13, and SCR 14 from today's calendar and making them special orders of business at the head of the third reading calendar for Wednesday, May 6th. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. And those opposed, no. This motion has carried. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction of first reading of Senate measures. The second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 590 related to SIAC. Senate Bill 839 related to address confidentiality. Senate Bill 944 related to Lane County Air Commission of Transportation.
These are passed to the calendar. The third reading of Senate measures. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus off the floor in their caucus room.
I got eyes, Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Mr. President, we would join our colleagues in requesting a 15-minute caucus in the Senate Republican Caucus Office on the third floor.
Thank you. The Senate will go into recess until 10:50 by the digital clock on the two boards that are two sides. So that clock will govern our behavior. We will recess until 10:50 a.m. as designated on the respective sideboards in the Senate chambers. The Senate is now in recess. The Senate will please come to order. The clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
And the Senate recess under the order. A quorum is present. The Senate recess under the order of third reading of Senate measures and resume under that order. So ordered. Senator Devlin, can I make my move? Without objection, we will move House Bill 2303 and House Bill 2762 to the head of today's third reading calendar. Any objections? It is so ordered. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2303, Land Service Member Civil Relief Act and Court Emergency.
Okay, we got a little issue here. The carrier is not on the floor. He is here. All right, Senator Boquist, we have just moved two things ahead of the calendar to accommodate our troops. And you are the carrier. Are you prepared to carry?
We're on. What is 2303?
2303, the, House Bill.
Got it.
Got it?
I got it. Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, 2303 comes from your Committee on Judiciary. It has no revenue impact, minimal fiscal impact. What this bill does, it allows a soldier, sailor, or marine to notify a creditor under the Federal Service Members Civil Relief Act that they want their existing debt that they have or the existing legal action involving debt postponed and suspended until they return from active military service. This is already allowable under federal law today. Unfortunately, what transpires is that these individuals, in order to enforce federal law, must hire a lawyer and go to court. And then at that point, the creditor, financial institution, so on and so forth, then says, oh, yes, we know that's federal law, we'll comply with it. That's pretty hard to do for Oregon Army National Guard soldiers, reservists, who are from Oregon, who are now deployed to Afghanistan and Iraq. What this bill specifically does in the state statute is allows those individuals attorney's fees and damages. So now there's some teeth in it at the state level so that when this transpires while they're deployed, they can get legal counsel and their wives and their parents and their wives can assist them in getting legal counsel here in the state. And then what they can do is force these financial institutions to follow the federal law. So what we're really doing is putting teeth in the federal law to help protect our citizen soldiers and Oregonians here in the state of Oregon. It's a good bill. Keep in mind that we have 2,500 Oregon Army National Guard soldiers who will be mobilized on the 2nd of May and will deploy the first week of July to Iraq. That's why we're rushing this through. My personal experience as a commander in the war is that at least once a week I had to deal with a soldier whose family back home was being pursued by a financial institution, or they were trying to throw him out of their house or trying to seize something from them in direct violation of federal law. In those days, we tried to get the Employer Support the Guard program to go out and talk to these financial institutions. Some of them responded, some did not. This happens very few times. However, interestingly enough, those when it does happen, it's the same ones you see on the front page of the Wall Street Journal that are getting TARP money. This is a good bill. Should pass, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Boquist. Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I rise in support of this bill. Some of you may recall that earlier in the session when I carried a debt collection bill, Senate Bill 386, on the floor, I talked about a story that I had learned about a young man who was in Iraq serving his country. A debt collector was not only calling his family to collect the debt, they were threatening to have his commanding officer rough him up a bit so they could collect the debt. This bill, colleagues, I hope will create a tremendous incentive to get those companies to back off and allow those young men and women who are serving their country to do their jobs without this worry back at home. Please vote aye on House Bill 2303. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Bonamici. Recognize Senator Floyd Prezansky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I wanted to stand in support of the bill and my two colleagues that have spoken from judiciary. This is an opportunity for us to actually complete what the House has started and get this bill signed by the governor before these men and women are deployed. So I'm asking and encouraging all of us to vote now, vote yes, and let's get it to the governor's desk.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have known about this act for a long time and have consistently notified my constituents about its availability. What I find shameful is that we have to pass a bill to enforce an act that is federal law. So what is shameful about it is that lending institutions, creditors, have violated the law and put our servicemen and women at risk and forced them to do dramatic things to get these folks to do what they're supposed to do. So quite frankly, this is where the legislature has risen to the challenge and done something that I think is exceptional. We shouldn't have had to do it, but we did because we recognized the need for it. And this is a tremendous bonus for all of us, all of those who serve in the armed forces, so that their families are protected at home while they are away serving our country. So this is a great bill, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Senator Boquist, do you wish to close? He does not. The question arises upon a third reading and final passage of House Bill 2303. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin.
Devlin. Senator Devlin.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Dingfelder. 29 ayes.
House Bill 2303, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2762, within the United States Armed Forces and Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. This good bill comes from your Senate Committee on Health Care and Veterans Affairs. No revenue impact, no fiscal impact. We'll have a tremendous morale impact. Let me say that again. We'll have a tremendous morale impact. What this bill does is designate May 8th of each year as Family Appreciation Day. If you recall, what I testified earlier is on May 2nd of this year, 3,200 members of the 41st Combat Brigade will be mobilized, about 2,200 or 2,300 of them from this state, and they will be mobilized in preparation and deployment to Iraq. May 8th will now become, if we pass this bill, Family Appreciation Day, recognizing and honoring those military families, showing support for the National Guard, the Air National Guard, the Army National Guard, the Marine Corps Reserve, the Naval Reserve, the Merchant Marine Reserve. I think I got everybody in that list. This is really important. For those of you who aren't aware of, we talked just about 2,000, 3,000 of the Army National Guard soldiers being deployed at a time, but as a fact, as of June 30th, 2008, last year, 21,731 Oregonians had served in Iraq or Afghanistan. I say again, 21,731 Oregonians had served in Iraq or Afghanistan. There is not a single district in this chamber who has not had dozens of individuals deployed. This is a good bill, recognizing the families and Family Appreciation Day. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Lori Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. There are several communities that are already having festivities for May 8th. In my community, we couldn't have it on May 8th, so we're having it this Saturday. We have a Veterans Heroes Memorial Park, and we will be planting a tree. It's rallying all of the families to one place to celebrate how much we appreciate them. So I do urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any further discussion? Senator Boquist, do you wish to close? Question arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2762. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Dingfelder. 29 ayes.
The House Bill 2762, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. We will now turn to the regular order of third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 560, relating to dissolution of county service districts.
Recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 560 comes unanimously from the Senate Committee on Education and General Government. The bill very simply permits the dissolution of county service districts by the county board if the districts are no longer necessary for the purpose for which they were formed. Colleagues, I think the best description of this bill comes from testimony, and I would read it as follows. Senate Bill 560 comes to you from Lane County and Clatsop County, both of which have county service districts that are no longer functioning save for an annual meeting and a budget development and adoption process. Under current state law, the only option for county commissioners that wish to rid themselves of no longer functional service districts is to hold an election of the residents of that district to vote on dissolution. From both Clatsop and Lane County, the cost of such an election is in excess of the dollars remaining in the annual budgets for these entities. Thus, they hang around endlessly. Colleagues, there is no reason for government to hang around endlessly. I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Myers. Discussion? Of course, now rise by the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 560. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call roll.
Nelson. Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, President Courtney, not answering, Morissette,
absent, go.
Excuse, Dingfelder, absent, Morissette, 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 560, I've seen the constitutional majority declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 610, related to approved transportation costs.
Recognize Senator Jenny Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 610 comes from your Finance and Revenue Committee with a due pass recommendation. This bill would allow school districts to put into their transportation grant formula federal funds that come to them through the Clean Diesel Act, the Clean Diesel Fund, so that it will encourage the retrofit or replacement of diesel engines in buses. The Clean Diesel Act of 2007, that was the forerunner act of this, recognized the harmful effects that diesel particulates have on our environment and our health. Diesel acts as a respiratory irritant and can lead to wheezing, difficulty breathing, eye and throat irritation, and asthma attacks. These are fine particulates that have a terrible health effect similar to cigarette smoke. Children are more susceptible to the impacts of diesel exhaust because they breathe 50% more air per pound of body weight than adults and because their lungs and bodies are still developing. Children suffering from asthma not only have to deal with daily health challenges, but many studies have shown that children with asthma have higher school absenteeism, possibly translating into poorer performance in schools. Oregon's Clean Diesel Act was designed to dovetail into a much larger federal effort to reduce the significant health hazard caused by air pollution released by unfiltered diesel engines. Senate Bill 610A enhances the Clean Diesel Act by allowing school districts to utilize a diverse set of funding resources to retrofit or replace diesel school buses. There are currently more than 1,000 diesel school buses in Oregon that need to be either replaced or retrofitted to provide students, bus drivers, and teachers with the healthiest transportation options available. Diesel air pollutants collect inside of school buses. Recent research found that within bus concentrations of diesel particulate matter and air toxics were 4 to 12 times higher than outside the bus. In recognition of this problem, the federal government has required that 2007 buses and newer be equipped to prevent diesel particulates from entering the cabin or coming out the exhaust of these buses. Retrofitting diesel buses can eliminate as much as 50% of the toxins in diesel exhaust, both inside and outside of the bus. School districts in Washington State that have cleaned up their diesel school buses have shown a 23 to 30% reduction in child hospitalization due to asthma and bronchitis. There are federal grants available for diesel bus retrofits and replacements. Senate Bill 610 would allow school districts in Oregon to better compete for federal grants as compared to school districts in other states by making clear that school districts may be reimbursed through the state transportation grant for costs incurred to retrofit or replace diesel school buses when the original funding came from the Clean Diesel Fund and were not state dollars. With asthma rates in Oregon children approaching 8.5%, which is close to 73,000 children, we must do all we can to reduce school children's exposures to asthma triggers, including diesel exhaust. Senate Bill 610 will allow us to use federal funding to the greatest extent possible in that effort. And this is made even more compelling by the fact that federal stimulus dollars may be available for this purpose, and we certainly want to encourage the use of those dollars in Oregon to protect the health of our children. I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 610A. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Question on rise, 30 and final patch, Senate Bill 610. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Brzozinski. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader.
Senator Schrader.
Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Munns Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse.
Senator Morris.
Nelson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Morissette, Dingfelder. Voting no. Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Nelson, Starr, 21 ayes.
Senate Bill 610, I've received custom majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 623, Relating Water Utility Metering.
Recognize Senator Johnson. Senator Johnson.
Colleagues, Oregon has over 2,000 water companies. The vast majority are cities and other publicly owned companies exempt from Public Utility Commission regulation. Some 80 water companies are subject to regulation by the PUC because they meet the statutory definition of a public utility. Of the 80 PUC-regulated companies, about 70 serve fewer than 500 customers. These water companies are regulated by the PUC only if their rates exceed a threshold set by administrative rule. Currently, the PUC threshold rate is $33 a month. Water companies that charge $33 or less are not subject to PUC regulation. But the $33 rate does not take into consideration the cost of water meters. When water meters are used, monthly water bills can reflect the full cost of water production and delivery. Water meters, therefore, encourage customers to minimize their water use. Senate Bill 623 directs the Public Utility Commission to set higher water rates for metered water systems that serve fewer than 500 customers. The higher threshold will allow small water companies to install water meters and conserve water. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Question on rise, final, third reading, final pass. Senate Bill 623. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Rosenbaum. Schrader.
Senator Schrader.
Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Walker.
Senator Walker.
Whitsett. Winters.
Senator Winters.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist.
Senator Boquist. Keep going.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin.
Senator Devlin.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas.
Senator Haas.
Johnson. Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prezonsky, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Dingfelder, voting no, Farioli, Girard, Cruz, Nelson, 25 ayes.
Senate Bill 623, I have received a constant majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 689, Wind Highways.
Recognize Senator Rick Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I know many of you thought this would never happen, but we are here on the floor today with the consensus cap and trade bill. Senate Bill 689A deals with outdoor advertising signs. Outdoor advertising signs, i.e. billboards, must have permits in order to be installed in locations visible from state highways. Oregon has a cap and replace sign permit system, with the number of permits capped at the 1977 level when the program went into existence. Banking of permits is allowed. A bank permit is called a relocation credit. Currently, there are about 1,700 permits for existing billboards with another 700 banked relocation credits. Now, to get a permit to build a new sign, the owner must remove a permitted sign or use one of their bank credits. Senate Bill 689A arises from recommendations of the Sign Task Force created by House Bill 2273 during the 2007 session. It directs the Oregon Department of Transportation to provide incentives for the voluntary removal of billboards from scenic byways. It directs ODOT to establish standards limiting incentive programs to particularly scenic areas of scenic byways. According to the Sign Task Force report, there are 216 outdoor advertising signs along scenic byways. 25 of those are outside city limits, and of those, perhaps 12 to 15 are in truly scenic areas. They are in existence prior to the particular highway's designation as a scenic byway, and therefore allowed to stay in the scenic byway due to grandfathered rights. But these would allow billboard companies to have an additional relocation credit should they choose to remove the billboard from the scenic byway. The bill also allows billboard companies to aggregate small sign relocation credits into a larger sign credit, making it more useful while at the same time lowering the number of credits available in the state. This is a unanimous bill by all the people in the working group. It will really help clean the Oregon of the billboards and scenic byways while providing additional benefits to those companies who have these credits and make those able to be used in a more useful way. And I would, this came out of your committee on unanimous vote, and would urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Recognize Senator Larry George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to clear a potential conflict of interest. I own a advertising company that purchases outdoor media.
What?
Potential conflict of interest.
Yeah. Continue.
I own an advertising company that that purchases outdoor advertising. Thank you.
Okay, your potential conflict of interest is noted for the record. Excuse me, I was distracted. I wasn't paying attention like I was supposed to. I got Senator Laurie Montes Anderson.
Colleagues, I urge an aye vote on this. We had a huge billboard, two of them, put up when all of these land use issues came before us between Gresham and Sandy. And the outcry from the public was just astounding because it did block this beautiful view of Mount Hood as you're traveling up from Gresham to Sandy. So this will give an option for those who did invest money in putting up billboards where really the public didn't want them. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 689. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin, Dingfelder, Farioli, George, Girard, Girard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prezonsky, Rosenbaum, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Dingfelder, 29 ayes.
The Senate Bill 689, having received constant majority, is declared passed. Without objection, turn the order of remonstrances. Dr. Alan Bates, Senator Dr. Bates, you want to say something? We're under remonstrances now.
Thank you, Mr. President. For a moment, I wanted to share some information about swine flu. You may be getting questions on the weekend on it. My office has been inundated with questions, and you may be getting some also. First off, a website is going up by DHS for information on swine flu. We don't have any confirmed cases in Oregon yet. We have several confirmed cases in California. And with modern travel, we expect to see them in Oregon very quickly. The website is www.flu.oregon.gov. There's also a website at the CDC. I'll give you some quick information. We're probably 6 months away from having a vaccine for this. It usually takes a year to get the vaccine out. Assuming the virus doesn't mutate, we can probably have one out in 6 months. There is a risk of a pandemic with this. We should be aware of that. It's unlikely, but it's possible. A drug called Tamiflu is prophylactic against it. You may want to talk to your constituents if they want to get that, if they've been exposed, but they shouldn't take Tamiflu unless they have an actual exposure from a case. You can be exposed for up to 7 days before you show any signs of the infection, and up to 10 days afterwards, you are still able to shed virus and give it to others. This is something we shouldn't panic about, but something we should be careful about. Best thing to do, continue to wash your hands, probably stay away from people who have an upper respiratory tract infection if possible, just stay alert and not overreact. Thank you, Mr. President, for allowing us to go back.
Thank you, Senator. Without objection, we will Senator Walker, what purpose do you rise?
Well, Mr. President, if we're still in remonstrances.
Please proceed.
Thank you. I appreciated that notification because we had the first confirmed death of swine flu in this country, a 23-month-old toddler. But I also wanted to let you know that yesterday, once again, I was nearly run over in the crosswalk with Senator Dingfelder and two reporters who were with me. And so I do want to tell you that your Capital Safety Committee has worked on this issue, and they will be establishing receptacles at each end of the crosswalk with flags. And so we will be carrying a flag across, and hopefully that will be like a bull with a red cape, and you will not be run over again. But is the simplest method we could come up with, or the committee came up with, I applaud them for it, without costing a great deal of money. So, colleagues, be careful out there every single day until we get those flags. Thank you.
Without objection, we'll turn to the regular order of business, and the clerk, which is the third reading of the Senate, the clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 745, the attorney fees and court emergency.
Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 745 comes to you from the Senate Judiciary Committee with 4 aye votes and 1 excused. This is a bill that's designed to protect the victims of identity theft. Under current Oregon law, the law allows the award of attorney's fees to a prevailing party in a civil action relating to express or implied contracts. And this is true even if the prevailing party claims that the contract is void or unenforceable. And it's also true even if the contract says that attorney's fees go to only one party but not the other. But what happens if someone's identity is stolen and then that person is sued for the debt that's been run up by the thief? Well, these are people who are completely innocent of the claim, but they may need to go hire an attorney to defend themselves. Ironically, if the person was in fact a party to the contract, he or she would recover the attorney's fees if the case was successful. But because the way the statute has currently been interpreted, the victim of identity theft is out of luck. They're stuck paying for their own defense costs because they're neither a party to the contract and they're not asserting that the contract is void or unenforceable. Senate Bill 745 fixes that unfairness by adding that the fees can be recovered when a person is sued on a contract and prevails by providing that he or she was not a party to the contract. Colleagues, this will help victims of identity theft, and I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 745. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Bonamici. Discussion. Question now rises upon third reading and final passage. Senate Bill 745. Those pending bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Whitsett,
Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prozonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Dean Felder, 29 ayes.
The Senate Bill 745, Anderson, Council Majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 748, Willing Tax Supervising.
Recognize Senator Lori Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 748 comes to you with unanimous consent from the Education and General Government Committee. It basically allows a governing body of a county to dissolve a tax supervision and conservation commission. The only one in the state that we have is the one in Multnomah County. This was formed back in the 1920s to collect and publish in a central place tax and budget information for all the taxing districts in the counties larger than 500,000. And Multnomah County had been the only one over 500,000 with only over 500,000 residents. Then in the early 2000s, Washington County all of a sudden started reaching 500,000. So in 2005, we actually passed legislation that would allow Washington County not to have a tax supervision and conservation commission. But Multnomah County doesn't have that right. So right now, local governments and school districts and all the taxing districts in Multnomah County have to submit their budgets to Multnomah County to the, we call it the TSCC, the Tax Supervision and Conservation Committee. Right now, we have 39 taxing districts that submit their budgets to the TSCC. And out of those 39, 28 of these already have their own budget committees and already receive public input in their budget process. Yet they still have to go to the TSCC. No other county has, or taxing district budgets have to go before any commission like that. Now, there are, I want you to know, 11 taxing districts in Multnomah County that do not have their own budget committee and therefore do not have public input. Those are like Metro, Port of Portland, TriMet, City of Portland, Portland Public Schools. They do not have to have a budget committee and they do not have to have public input because they say, hey, the TSCC does. But all of the smaller districts, such as City of Fairview, City of Wood Village, City of Gresham, all of the school districts, they already have budget committees, they already are getting public input, and now they have to do one more thing and go to the TSCC to present their budget. And basically for those smaller jurisdictions, it's just a rubber stamp. So I do want you to know that I think there is some opposition to this because of those entities that do not have public input into their budget process. And that does include, like I said, Metro, TriMet, Portland Public Schools. But the City of Fairview, the City of Wood Village, and the City of Troutdale came to us and said, we do a great job. Why don't we just give Multnomah County the option of not having a TSCC? So if we allowed Washington County to do this in 2005, I believe firmly that we should allow Multnomah County if they decide they would want to do that. With that, I would offer and I would encourage you to vote aye on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Discussion? First, now I have my third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 748. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Telfer. Berger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfeather. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Nelson. Przanski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Dingfelder, voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Johnson, Cruz, Starr, Whitsett. 21 ayes.
Senate Bill 748, Habeas Constitutional Majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 874, Individuals with Disabilities.
Recognize Senator Floyd Przanski. Where is Senator Przanski? He's got a motion to make.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the consideration of Senate Bill 874 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on the May 4th, which is this next Monday's calendar.
Senator Przanski has moved the consideration of Senate Bill 874 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on the Monday, May 4th calendar. Your motion.
Mr. President, there are some other questions that have come up. I need to get back with the agency that brought the bill forward to get the additional information. We should be able to have that completed, and we expect all members to be present for a vote on Monday the 4th. Thank you.
Thank you. Discussion. Questions on taking Senate Bill 874 from today's calendar and placing it on May 4th, which is Monday's calendar. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. And those opposed, no. This motion is carried. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 901, Relating Benefit Plans for Education District Employees in a Current Emergency.
Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this bill is about fulfilling legislative intent. Last session, the Oregon Legislature passed Senate Bill 426, creating the Oregon Educators Benefit Board. The goal was to bring down the cost of health care insurance for school employees by pooling district purchasing power. Some districts and some legislators, myself included and perhaps others of you here, were concerned because some school districts had great cost-effective plans already and didn't want to give them up if joining OEB would create increased costs or decrease benefits. So the bill was modified to provide that districts would not need to join OEB unless the benefits provided were comparable to those that the district was able to obtain on its own. This year, when I went back to look at the codified statute, I found that the language about comparability was in a footnote in the ORS, in the statutes, and the provisions of that footnote had arguably expired. Accordingly, districts that are not now in OEB, either because they have not reached the time in their collective bargaining agreement that would require them to join, or because they've been granted a waiver, have no statutory guarantee that the Oregon Educator Benefit Board will provide comparable benefits and price. In fact, I have an opinion from legislative counsel when I ask whether it was necessary to codify the language, even though there is rulemaking on the issue of comparability. I received an opinion from the Office of Legislative Counsel dated April 7th, 2009, stating that we believe Senate Bill 901 is absolutely necessary to legislatively clarify the scope and applicability of Section 17, Chapter 7, Oregon laws, which is the comparability section of the prior OEB bill. So Senate Bill 901 clarifies that school districts can remain out of the Oregon Educator Benefit Board as long as their existing or alternative plan is better according to biennial actuarial reviews. It does not, however, allow districts already in OEB to leave. This will not let districts jump in and out of the pool at will. It will simply allow districts who currently have a better alternative to continue to exercise it. An additional provision is included in the bill. Senate Bill 901 clarifies that a comparability analysis must be done every 2 years or every year if requested by the district or by the organization representing the employees of the district. This will assure that the comparability analysis is done on a regular basis to determine if by going into OEB the district will be able to save money or will it cost the district money. By rule and by practice, the Oregon Educator Benefit Board has allowed districts to whom they can't provide comparability to opt out. But as time goes by, legislative intent becomes harder to discern and statutory language can, as we know, be subject to differing interpretations. It is for this reason, colleagues, that I ask you to support Senate Bill 901A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Fred Girard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this is one of those bills that is half good and half bad. The good part is you allow people to work outside the board. The bad part is on page 2, lines 4 through 8, and what the bill says, once employees of a district or an employee group within a district participates in benefit plans provided and administered by the board, the district may not thereafter provide or contract for benefit plans for those employees or employee groups other than those provided and administered by the board. This further locks in statute the power of OEDD, and the thing is that it's just not a good deal. So those people that have already committed to that are locked into there for perpetuity, and I'll be a no vote.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Jeff Crows.
Thank you, Mr. President and colleagues. I voted for this bill in committee with some trepidation. I would have absolutely enthusiastically supported the original version of the bill, which would have allowed the school district the discretion to be in OEBB or out of OEBB. We do not have that here. Unfortunately, although the language now in the bill prohibits a district from exiting OEBB once they're in, that is already the reality, because it's already the reality that OEBB has the decision as to whether a district's in or out. The district currently does not have that decision. What this bill does is allow the districts that are not currently in some flexibility, but colleagues, this train's going down the track, and eventually everybody will be in to the detriment of the entire system.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Senator Bonamici, do you wish to close?
Just briefly, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 901 did pass out of the Committee on Education and General Government unanimously, and it has always been drafted in a way that would allow the districts who are not currently in OEB to stay out if they can provide comparable benefits, but there was not a version that would have allowed districts to jump in and out because of the stability of the pool. So I do urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 901 to allow those districts that can provide comparable benefits outside the pool to remain outside the pool if they can provide those benefits. So thank you, Mr. President. Please vote aye on Senate Bill 901.
Question arises upon authority to final passage. Senate Bill 901. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Dingfelder. Voting no. George. Gerard. Nelson. Starr. 25 ayes.
Senate Bill 901. Having received custom majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 929. Related to billing of tenants for water.
Recognize Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 929A comes to you from your Consumer Protection and Public Affairs Committee. It requires manufactured home parks with more than 200 units to bill for water by submetering, that is, by installing meters at each home and apportioning the cost based on usage. Compliance is required by 2012. Submetering is inexpensive and effective. In a large submeter program that we looked at in the Santa Clara, California Valley Water District with manufactured home parks there, submeters were installed in 4 manufactured home parks with more than 1,100 home sites. The average cost of installation per unit was about $172, including the meters, installation, and relevant fees. Offsetting that cost, the parks experienced a 22.5% reduction in water usage after meters were installed. As you can imagine, it didn't take long for the new system to pay for itself. The Eugene Water and Electric Board testified in support of this bill, stating that it will create motivation to fix leaks in parks and will lead to water conservation. Likewise, a manager of the Boring Water District with the water distribution license testified that metering is very important for safety and for water conservation. For our constituents who live in manufactured home parks, though, this bill is also about fairness. In some manufactured home parks, individual tenants are paying the same water rates as families of six or seven. In others, parks are passing along the costs of leaks onto their homeowners rather than fixing the problem themselves. And I'll give you an example. There's a very large manufactured home park in my district, almost 500 home sites. They take the water bill and divide it by the number of occupied home sites. That, colleagues, does not create an incentive to save, because with a park of that size, there just isn't a noticeable difference in water usage. And so by putting individual meters on, the homeowners will be able to monitor their own use and identify if there's a leak in the system by monitoring their own water usage and paying, colleagues, for what they use. At the basis of this bill is a simple, reasonable principle. People should be able to pay for what they use. And we know with water issues, it's important to conserve. This is the best way to get there. Again, it does not go into effect until 2012 to give the home parks an opportunity to get ready to submeter. And Senate Bill 929 guarantees that fairness for our constituents who live in manufactured home parks. I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Question on right upon third reading and final passage. Senate Bill 929. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Walker. Whitsett.
Senator Whitsett.
Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfeather. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass.
Thank you.
Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Bonnet Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prozonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Dingfelder, voting no, George, Cruz, Nelson, Whitsett, 25 ayes.
Senate Bill 929, having substantial majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 381, with the health benefit plans.
Recognize Senator Bill Morissett.
Mr. President, I move that consideration of Senate Bill 381 be taken from its place on today's calendar and move to Wednesday, May 6th calendar.
Senator Bill Morissette has moved that the consideration of Senate Bill 381 be taken from its place on today's calendar and move to Wednesday, May 6th calendar. To your motion.
Other events must transpire before we hear this bill.
Discussion? The question is on taking Senate Bill 381 from today's calendar and placing it on Wednesday's May 6th calendar. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. This motion is carried. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 543, leading special motion to strike.
Recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 543 comes out of your Judiciary Committee. What 543 is going to actually do, it's going to allow for an expedited process so that if there is a suit that's been filed and it's the defendant believes that the suit was filed for basically prohibiting them or limiting their ability to have action on issues that involve what's known are citizen complaint suits. There are what's known as an anti-SLAPP law. This will actually allow for the court where the suit has been filed to enter a limited judgment. The purpose for the limited judgment is to allow the defendant to be able to expedite a appeal of that decision if it's a denial of their motion to squash or to strike the lawsuit, and then they can have immediate relief through the Court of Appeals to determine whether or not it was, in fact, a motion that should have been granted by the defendant. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Question now is about 30 and final passage, Senate Bill 543. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Dingfelder, 29 ayes.
The Senate Bill 543, absent constitutional majority, is declared passed. Can it hold? Can we wait? Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 570, Lynn Cummer, Smell Property.
Recognize Senator Floyd Przonski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 570 comes out of your Judiciary Committee. It came out on a 5-0 vote. Colleagues, this is the bill that all of us on this floor signed on to. This is dealing with metal theft. In fact, we have 89 out of 90 members that actually have signed on to this bill from the two chambers, and it's on its way off our floor to go over to the House, and hopefully will be adopted over there on a very expedited manner. What Senate Bill 570 is going to do, it will, in fact, establish a new public-private partnership to combat metal theft. There are multiple components to it. I'm not going to go into detail on each of those components today, but I do want to point out a few that I think that are important, and then my good senator from West Valley will be also giving some input. The part that I want to make certain that we do understand is that we are taking some steps in safeguarding the immediate return of money back to an individual who is selling hot metal to for scrapping. Basically, what we are going to be requiring that all these transactions to be any payment to be made will be through a check. It will be required to be mailed to a home address, and that there will be a 3-day business wait for that to occur. One of the things that's really important about this is really breaking that immediate, gratification that comes from individuals that are, in fact, stealing metal and then turning it over for a profit and then turning that into dope. As we all realize, the metal theft problem that we have today has been exponentially impacted because of the meth crisis that we are dealing with. This is a way that we, as a public, as well as the private partnership, will be able to work together and combat the impact. There's also another important part I want to put on the record, and that is creating the immunity for landowners who have individuals who are trespassing across their property, attempting to or actually stealing metal when they are injured or damaged. This is one of those things that, again, is not only going to impact the individual, but it will also impact the companies such as utilities that have individuals going into their substations and stripping metal from those facilities that are very hazardous for anyone to walk into, let alone putting their fingers onto the any of the metal components that they're trying to steal. With that, Mr. President, what I would like to do is turn this over at this time to allow my good colleague, the good senator from West Valley, to make some comments.
Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I'm not going to talk about what I think about the bill. I spent the last 4.5 months on the work group with it. One of the floor letters that's out there tells you this bill represents a multi-year effort to address the problem, a 3-year effort, in fact. Luckily, I was only involved in this in the last 4 months. But what you see in the various floor letters you have out there is the Farm Bureau on board, Oregon Rural Electric Cooperatives, and then you've got an entire list of the nurseries and Northwest Natural, Pacific Power, PGE, Idaho Power, and some of the things that they comment establishes a powerful theft deterrent, gives law enforcement more time to catch thieves, restricts the purchase of commercial property, protects victims of metal theft. That's what the people that had a vested interest are in saying in this. That's why it's a good bill and deserves your support. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Lori Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank the good senator from Lane and Douglas counties for coalescing all of the ideas that were being put forth on scrap metal theft. My staff was working on it and then got involved with a work group, and there were so many of us working in silos and in groups, and this bill sort of brought everybody under the same tent and accomplished a whole lot more than those of us could have done separately. So thank you again, and I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would like to join those in thanking the work group I had many calls from the metals recyclers about this bill, opposing the bill. And my questions for them were, where were you? For years, we've had metal theft as an identified problem in Oregon. And the metal recyclers want to blame the bad actors. Apparently, the bad actors are those that can't tell when a guy drives up in a battered orange Toyota with a half a truckload full of bronze castings that look like they might be statuary, that's not stolen. Or maybe the bad actor is the guy that drags up a trailer with painted guardrail on the trailer, and that can be identified as possibly being suspect. Or maybe the bad actor drives up and has a pickup load full of newly burned house wiring, where the insulation's been burnt off the thing. I'm really proud of the work of this committee. I read the bill. In the bill, there's a provision for disproportionate damage. When you strip the wiring out of a house and you burn the insulation off, you might get pennies a pound for the copper, but you're doing thousands and tens of thousands of dollars worth of damage to the structure you ripped off. And this bill recognizes the disproportionate damage. Colleagues, here's how bad it is. All of you at one point or another have enjoyed the walk of flags outside this building. Many of you purchased or helped to sponsor commemorative plaques for the flags of the 50 states. Well, take a walk around there and look at the number of plaques that have been pried off and stolen by metal thieves. Colleagues, we have a model of the Liberty Bell out on the Capitol Mall here. And if you go and look, you'll find that there's pry marks on the plaque on the Liberty Bell where the metal thieves tried to steal the fittings right off the plaque on the Liberty Bell here on the Capitol Mall. Colleagues, I don't know that we have indulged this even too long. I can't understand why the metal dealers didn't understand that they could have, through a peer group action, taken this action without the requirement of the legislature to create these new laws. They refused to do it. That's why we're taking action here. This is a good bill. It's sad. It's a sad commentary on the need for this bill, but I hope it will put a stop to the practices that are so stupid and heinous, like stealing the bracing out from under a high school bleacher, which caused it to collapse the next time it was used. This is a good bill. I hope it gets as many votes as we have to offer it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Brzezinski, do you wish to close?
Mr. President, I do just for the take a moment to really thank all of those who have been participants. I see a couple of the interest group members that were part of the work groups during the interim here in the lobby or in the gallery today. I want to thank you all very much for all the work that you've done in getting everyone together. It was the work that they did, Mr. President, that brought the ideas and concepts to us. And then the members here within the legislature, myself, as well as the good senator from West Valley, as well as Representative Olson and Barton, were the ones that worked on this to fine-tune it. I believe we got everyone addressed as to the issues. Even industry has come forward now seeing how we've modified what is measured as a way to hold people accountable, including people within the industry, but at the same time realizing that we have a crisis that we need to deal with and dealing with those who are actually causing the issues. And so, Mr. President, I hope at this point that we can, in fact, have a unanimous consent through a yes vote and moving this bill over to the House so it can, in fact, be enacted soon. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. A question now rises upon a third reading final passage of Senate Bill 570. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates.
Chair Bates. Go on.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Bates. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Dingfelder. 29 ayes.
The Senate Bill 570, I haven't seen the custom majority declared passed. Senator Rosenbaum, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Request permission to return to the order of courtesies.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
Thank you, colleagues. Please join me in welcoming in the rear gallery a group of middle school students from Winter Haven Middle School in Southeast Portland in my district. And there are actually, by one version, 30 of them, and by another, 60 of them, but that's a lot either way, so please join me in welcoming them to the Capitol.
Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum. These students from Winter Haven Elementary School, thanks for coming and witnessing our session. This is your state capitol. It's an honor and a privilege to have you here. We hope you have a good day, and I hope you'll come back to see us again. So I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Senate to each and every one of you. Thank you, Winter Haven. Without objection, now we'll turn to the regular order of Senate business, and I will set over the remainder of the bills under the Senate third reading calendar till Monday's calendar. Without objection, first reading of the House measures.
House Bill 5244, Land Pension Restoration Org Racing Commission, Court Emergency. House Bill 2139, will have to temporary appointment of a person to ensure care facility compliance. House Bill 2358, with distribution of samples of non-cigarette tobacco products. House Bill 2377, the use of mobile communication device while driving. House Bill 2633, the supervisor of employees under public collective bargaining law.
Right. These are transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures. Without objection, I will set over the third reading of House measures till tomorrow's calendar. I made a mistake. We are meeting tomorrow on this floor. Without objection. I will set over the remaining reading consideration of third reading of Senate measures till tomorrow's calendar. Other business of the Senate, in accordance with SR 8.403, committee referral list number 100, was distributed to members on April 28th. The referrals will be recorded in the Journal State Report, is so ordered. For announcements, please, those that will not be in Ashland tomorrow, you have to be here because we've got to have a quorum. We've got to at least have a session or we're going to be in violation of the Oregon Constitution. Tomorrow we're meeting at 11:30, not 10:15. We'll be here at 11:30 tomorrow. We do need a quorum. We do need to have a session, as you well know. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, to all of the Floyds, please read everything you can about Jason Bowe. See you at 2 o'clock.
Thank you. Are there any further announcements? Recognize Senator Richard Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Democrats, get your lunch. Be in the caucus room at 12:20. 12:20.
Recognize Senator Ted Farioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, as usual, the Republicans are on time, under budget, and with no new taxes, we do not need a caucus today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Well, thank you. Again, tomorrow we begin the session on the floor. Will not be a real long session, but we'll see. At 11:30 a.m. tomorrow. At 11:30 a.m. tomorrow. If there are no further objections, and without objection, the Senate will be adjourned until 11:30 tomorrow, Thursday, the April 30th. This Senate is now adjourned.